Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world. In the name of God. Amen. Suddenly there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind, divided tongues as of fire spread among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. They began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. We sometimes call this day the Feast of Pentecost, the birthday of the Church. That term this year, though, is landing a little innocuously for me. To me, this year, Pentecost sounds like terrifying chaos. All were amazed and perplexed, Acts tells us, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Today's story begins calmly enough. The disciples are in Jerusalem, sitting in a house. The account in Acts is unclear as to how many are present, but the movement has grown since the morning of the resurrection to about 120 people. It's apparently that same upper room in the house, which according to tradition belonged to the evangelist Mark. It has been their retreat, their safe space. And then something mystical and shocking happens. A sound like the rush of violent wind, divided tongues of fire descend, and suddenly it's as if the walls of the house themselves are blown out. What had been internal and private and sheltered, safe space, is suddenly open and wheeling and chaotic. We're not told in Acts that these very first Jesus people have gone outside, come out of the upper room, but suddenly this is where they seem to be. Outside, in a teeming crowd, everyone from everywhere is there. And this is where Peter gives his Pentecost sermon. "God declares," says Peter, "that the Spirit will be poured out among all flesh." All flesh. Now, we could call this the birthday of the Church. But does the imagery of cake and candles really do justice to what has happened here? It's as if something has broken open and rained down upon everyone. Everyone! It's penta-chaos. It's as if the walls have dissolved. Not merely the walls in the upper room, but the dividing walls of language and culture. And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? This is what the crowd asks. This is what they want to know. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, they're all there. And suddenly, it's as if the tribal differences, all the markers, have been dissolved too. Everyone suddenly understands everyone else. Church is not merely a place. In this image, it's a very specific way of being together. "I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just go to church," said a parishioner to me this week. "I want to be the church. I'm more interested in being the church." I'm wondering if we can remember that together. Not going to, but being the church on that eventual day when we do return. In some ways, Pentecost is all about getting out of the house if the houses we have been living in have kept us too much to ourselves, have facilitated us dividing the world into us and them. For the time being, though, so much this particular Pentecost is keeping us in. There's the obvious, of course. 10 weeks into COVID-19, we don't yet know the shape of our life to come. Millions are unemployed. And most searingly, this week, millions of Americans have witnessed the death in Minneapolis of an uncharged and handcuffed black man, George Floyd, his throat beneath the knee of a white police officer. "You hide your face and they are terrified," says the psalmist this morning. "You take away their breath and they die. We can't hear, I can't breathe, the last words of George Floyd, without recalling that these were the very last words of Eric Garner on Staten Island in 2017, under similar circumstances. I can't breathe. Breath is sown throughout our readings for this week. In John's Gospel, this after Easter Jesus, his wounds still visible, breathes on the sequestered 12. That's how he gives them the Spirit, through his very breath. It's been specifically an act of liberation and power in John's Gospel, Jesus breathing on them. Who can breathe just now in America? And who, literally or figuratively, cannot? What kind of a country do we want? Asks the writer Marilyn Robinson in an essay this week in the New York Review of Books. What kind of a country do we want? While any one of us can fall ill to COVID-19, of course, Robinson observes that poverty, crowding, and exhaustion have a lot to do with who lives and who succumbs. And in the sometimes too quiet of my house this week, I've been thinking about the virus, I've been thinking about racism, and I've been thinking about these forces in my own life. We all live embedded just now in their double helix. It's a kind of chain. These are systems, not necessarily of our own construction, that necessarily enmesh us all. And with both COVID-19 and systemic racism, if I privately congratulate myself, tell myself I am somehow not a potential spreader, I am, in fact, a threat. How did Rabbi Heschel put it once? Few are guilty, but all are responsible. All are responsible. So I try to do the responsible things. For COVID-19, that means wearing a mask. It's loving myself and loving the stranger 6 feet away who's nervously eyeing the avocados in the produce section at the Mount Auburn Star. Things aren't as simple when it comes to racism, but perhaps our lessons this morning have something to teach us. God is not interested in premature healing, writes the Episcopal priest Broderick Greer in his essay on racial reconciliation and justice. God is not interested in premature healing. Greer is reflecting specifically on the story we have heard this morning from John's Gospel. Jesus shows up and he shows them his hands and his feet and his side. Perhaps the Jew the disciples fear most in that locked room is, in fact, this pierced and returning Messiah. His lynched body a sign of their guilt, of course, but his strange exhaling a sign of new life to come. Someday, and perhaps not without more difficulty and trauma. Naming traumas, scars, and other dimensions of our experience, continues Greer, naming these must be present in our commitment to offsetting anti-Black racism in our time and in generations to come. If we follow this Jesus, he concludes, not admire, but actually follow this Jesus, we can recognize the tragedies of our present age, understand them for what they are, and journey to a place and time when every tribe, nation, and language celebrates God's wondrous deeds in their native tongues and in their native lands. As I think about COVID-19 and racism, as I think about this double helix, I'm thinking specifically about our bodies, how these are embodied things. They're about our very mouths and eyes and ears. To speak, to remain silent, to listen. Perhaps the beginning of ending racism is opening ourselves to those who are different from us, is handing the microphone, in fact, to someone who may disagree with us. To wear the mask, to refrain from speaking, to listen. Perhaps this is how we, as white people, begin. You know, there is an old custom in the church of referring to these coming months between Pentecost and Advent as ordinary time. Ordinary time. No major feasts. Our gospel lessons will focus not on the big events, the birth, the transfiguration, the death and resurrection, but on the active ministry of Jesus. His works, his healings. Ordinary time. Ordinary time. I've been hearing too in that phrase this week the aristocratic trill of Eleanor Roosevelt. This is no ordinary time, she remarked in a famous speech. It was 1940. The Great Depression was not over yet. Fascism and global war were looming. We cannot tell from day to day what may come. This is no ordinary time. The first Pentecost was no ordinary time. These weeks we are living have been. The balance of this year, 2020, will be no ordinary time. And in them, through the love of God, the compassionate works of Christ, and the searching creative power of the Holy Spirit, may we, and our nation, and our world, be made new. Almighty God, on this day you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world. In the name of God, Amen.